It's time for Gervais Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervais. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervais & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervais.
Hi, I am Alan Gervais, and this is Gervais Law. I got to tell you about a story that happened this week. Excuse me, I get all choked up when I think about it. I was doing a deposition of a doctor, a psychiatrist, actually, and I'd finished the deposition, and afterward, everyone had left the Zoom call because that's how it's done, unfortunately, for us lawyers these days on Zoom. And I was just left on the Zoom call with the psychiatrist, and we know each other. I've deposed him so many times. So he asked me, you know, how are things going? And I said, things are going relatively well. And then I started to whine a little bit, complain, you know, my kids, my 10 and 11 year kids are driving me crazy. And this one isn't doing this and this isn't doing that. And, you know, one didn't hit a home run at the baseball game, and the other was playing basketball and she missed a shot. Just kind of typical whining of a parent. And he said to me, why don't you focus on the positive? You need to take a break and go outside from your house, take 10 minutes, sit on a comfortable chair, and be thankful for what you have. Just focus on everything that you are thankful for. Show some gratitude. And it made me pause. It made me think, he's right. I need to take the time to be thankful of the good things that my kids bring to me, which is a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, and not focus on the negative. It's a good transition to my show today. And I tell the story for a reason, because I'm really excited to talk to Jamie Hess today. She is the authority on gratitude and on being thankful, being able to approach problems and issues that may not be that easy with a positive perspective. She is a TEDx speaker. She's an on-air personality, a wellness mentor, a coach, a mindset coach, brand strategist, a connector, and a podcaster. I'll tell you, 20 years ago, none of those words would even have been in our lexicon. But now they are. She's the host and executive producer of Gratitudeology Podcast, which is an amazing podcast that everyone needs to listen to. She's the face of Zuda Activewear, the creator of the Big Ask Method. She worked in PR and marketing for many years and dealt with accounts like McDonald's, W Hotels, General Motors, and LinkedIn. She's appeared on shows like The View, Today, Good Morning America. She created a program called Brand Ninja, where she coaches hundreds of people, helping them achieve their professional goals. And she has over 200,000 followers on Instagram at Jamie Hess. And Jamie Hess is at Gervais Law. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is great to have you. And I know when I talked at the opening of the show about how I overlook sometimes thanking others, being someone who appreciates things. When was it in your background, which is so varied, where you realized, and I know you had some substance abuse problems, when did you realize that if you focused on the positive, on being thankful, on gratitude, that you could be a better person and you could help others be better people?
Well, thank you for asking that particular question. You know, I'm going to take it a beat back, because it all begins when I was a kid. And I'll tell you why specifically for me. I was brought up by my loving parents. My mom is TV journalist Joan London. She hosted Good Morning America for almost 20 years. And because of that, I think, and this happens to a lot of children of celebrities, there is a piece of me that thought, well, I should just look up to her and do everything that she does. She's so amazing, right? But then there was another part of me just thought, you know what? That could never be me. You know, like you just feel like you're a little bit in their shadow.
Yeah.
And it feels so overwhelming to live up to that. And so quite honestly, that is why when I was a teenager, I think I took such a hard left and fell into a life with drugs and alcohol. And that really honestly almost did me in. I mean, I had some near-death experiences. Things got really, really bad. And people all the time would tell me, you know, what's wrong with you? You should just be grateful. Just be great. You have a nice life. Be grateful. And I got to tell you, that was really unhelpful advice, like terribly unhelpful for someone to say, just be grateful for what you have. And it's, I never want anyone to think that that's what I'm encouraging them to do. Because, hey, if it were that easy, we would all do it. However, I do feel that those of us who have been to the darkest places see the light that much brighter. And I believe that I had what I call the gift of desperation. When you are on your knees, as I was, and you really have no place else to go but up, you start to kind of, you open your eyes every morning and you're like, you know, I'm just happy to be here. And when you get that, even if you get it just once in what I call a little white light moment, a glimmer of that ability to have that sense of gratitude, it can change your perspective forever. So being open to just the reality that, hey, I feel my 2 feet on the ground. I feel the air in my lungs. And all of a sudden, the rest of the world falls away, which is the story, by the way, that you were just telling us. Just close the laptop for a minute. Go out and sit with kids in the sunshine and have that moment. And it really can change your perspective forever.
How did you reconcile what your mom was doing, because you were growing up in a time when she was all over the place, you know, on television, in the news, as a newscaster and personality? How did you reconcile the fact that you obviously realized inside of you, you're not her? And I think this is such an important point, because you have two boys now, and you look at them, as I do with my two kids, and think, they're not me. And what kind of pressures would my kids feel? Because I'm so outspoken. I'm like you. You know, I talk. I'm on the radio. I'm in court. I'm doing all kinds of things. My kids are kind of shy. How do they reconcile that? And how did you do it? Ultimately, finding out who you were and doing all this great work with others.
Well, here's the great thing. I think because I had the gift of desperation, it caused me to seek help. And so I started seeking help in spiritual circles, in recovery circles. And so that's when I learned gratitude. So you understand the distinction there. I learned gratitude. Getting grateful doesn't just happen overnight. It's a practice and it takes exercise. And so that is something I teach my kids. My kids live a very nice, privileged life, right? My husband and I work very hard to make sure that they have all the nice things. But that can be more damaging. And anyone who's grown up around children of privilege or kids who have, they know that that can actually be detrimental, because we don't appreciate things as much when they come on a silver platter, right? So it's so important to come home and, first of all, demonstrate and then teach kids. It's the same way we have to constantly exercise our biceps in the gym if we want good arms and a tank top. In order to have gratitude be a neural pathway of our brain that actually works, and to activate that in our kids as well, we have to practice it. And I always like to tell people when I stand on stage, you know, it's simple neurochemistry. Neurons that fire together wire together. So the more that you do proactive gratitude exercises, both by yourself, in the home, as a practice with your children, in other words, integrating a simple daily gratitude practice, you can literally rewire your brain to be less anxious, less focused on the negative, and to be more focused on the positive. So I kind of feel like, you know, my mom raised me very nice, but that's kind of almost throwing your kids out to the wolves, right? Like if you're just raised, you know, without kind of overcoming hardships, and then nobody teaches you like well, here's the tools and techniques to overcome life's hardships. How do you ever learn? So I really take it on myself to make these things a practice in my household. Every morning, we do a daily meditation, we do a daily affirmation, and we do a daily gratitude practice. First thing.
Wow. That's really impressive. And, you know, I'm just listening and thinking, we don't do any of that. And I think my kids really need it because we're trying to balance. I mean, my wife and I both have, I think, really good family values, and we're trying to teach the kids it. Yes, they have things that others don't have, but how do you balance trying to, and I think you've already said it, to trying to impress upon them that life isn't that easy, but at the same time, we want you to have a good childhood. You know, we're just getting ready to go on a trip, and it's a nice trip. I mean, my kids are going to see Taylor Swift in Vienna, Austria, and then go on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean. And I don't want them to feel like this is just something that comes easy. And how do we appreciate that versus, you know, taking everything away and saying you're never going on a trip again?
Well, by the way, it's partially age appropriate. So are they going to act ungrateful on the trip? Yes, they will. And so don't be frustrated by it. You know what I mean? It's frustrating. And it's, you know, it happens to the best of us. I took my kids on a beautiful trip to Arizona and the Grand Canyon and Zona. And what do they remember from the whole trip? They got to go to the McDonald's with the blue arches in Sedona. Like that was their takeaway.
That's great.
Right, from the trip. But that's okay. It's age appropriate. However, on a daily basis, I show up and I demonstrate to my children who I want them to be. And so I have to be doing the work, you know, just telling them to be grateful or just telling them life's going to be hard and you got to like pull it together or you have to understand, you know, I say this to my kids all the time, by the way, and I'm not sure it's helpful. Like when they're acting a little spoiled or entitled. And I say, you know, there's a war going on right now, like in the Ukraine. And it's like, do I need to be telling them about the war in the Ukraine? They don't care. They don't get it. They don't care. And it's not really making an impact on them. Like, oh, well, it could be Ukraine. It's like, yeah, but they want their tablet. They're not having that type of empathy. However, if they see Dad and I demonstrating on a daily basis, simple terminology, for instance, when you walk around and your kids hear you complaining, oh, I have to go to work. I have to work out. Instead of saying, I'm so grateful for my job. I get to show up and be of service. I'm gainfully employed when others aren't. I get to show up and move my body. I'm so grateful I have two legs and, you know, a gym membership. We try to talk in the affirmative. We try to talk in the positive. So it just seeps into a family ethos. So you have to also make, you know, look, nobody's perfect. You have to make allowances for age. But I really do believe it starts at the top and it trickles down.
You know, I am going to record the last 4 minutes of you telling us this, and I think I'm going to play it every morning when I get up because it's so important, and we don't stop and think about that. And certain things that you said about they're not going to appreciate the trip or, you know, they are just happy to go to the McDonald's with the blue arches. And all of these things, it's relevant to all of us, all parents and non-parents alike, that we don't really focus on what you were just talking about. We focus on the negative. How many times have they heard me say, oh, no, I have to go to trial again? And that's exactly how I feel. But I do an incredible job when I get there. They are not me. And when I get to trial, I am so motivated. I am going to fight for my clients, and I'm going to do a great job, and I'm going to be so prepared. They don't see all that. They just hear some whining that, you know, that I might do. So I think what you're saying is so spot on, and parents need to really listen to that and take it seriously. Now, when you started to do the Gratitudeology podcast, what was your intention and how did it all evolve?
So I had another podcast for 4 years prior that was kind of covering everything at the intersection of wellness and social media. So trending topics in the wellness space, because I'm a wellness geek. That's kind of how I started as a wellness influencer and media personality. But I really evolved in my brand identity to transcend just fitness and wellness and to really be kind of full scale personal, professional development, alignment, just helping people with mindset optimization and just getting out of bed and living their best life every day. But what I realized was, like, fundamentally, when I looked at what was attributable to me being happy, because I honestly feel that, you know, sometimes just being okay these days is very aspirational, right? Like, I'm not saying I have it all together. I'm not saying life's perfect, but I get out of bed and I'm okay. The Sunday scaries don't get me. I can push through my anxiety and get to a place of, like, by the time I put my 2 feet on the ground, I'm grateful and ready to go into the day. It's that rock star reframe that I teach. And so I thought, what could I do around that as far as bringing people stories? So that was one part of the idea. After I had kind of gotten tired of this last podcast that I had, and I wanted to sunset that and do something fresh, I said, I want something to be around this message of gratitude, because I believe an attitude of gratitude is a heartbeat of happiness. Now, number two, I want to do a podcast, because my last podcast was a chat show, and nothing wrong with that. I just done it for a long time.
Thank you for saying nothing wrong with that.
Of course. Look, I had a great chat show for 4 years. I felt in my soul it was time for something, a refresh. And for me, I geek out on podcasts. I don't know if you're a podcast fan, but yeah. I love A-plus narrative storytelling. You know, I love podcasts like Serial or the podcast on Wondery, where you feel like you're in a story. It's almost like an audiobook. So I said, what if I told the stories of celebrities, thought leaders, 8-9-figure entrepreneurs, and just your favorite cultural zeitgeist players? And everybody has their why. What is that story, that moment where their switch flipped and they started seeing life through a lens of gratitude? And these are some crazy stories. I mean, it's everybody from, you know, I have celebrities like Rainn Wilson from The Office. I have Teddy Mellencamp from The Real Housewives, Neve Schulman from Catfish, Gabby Bernstein, who's a meditation and manifestation guru that is on Oprah stages. But I also have people like a great personal development coach named Brian Bogart, who got run over tragically by a truck when he was 7 years old, and it detached his arm from his body, and his arm was reattached, and this wild story. And it's these people's turning point story, where what I wanted to show was, in our darkest moments, we can find our brightest light. So if you, listener, are going through what might feel like your darkest moment, what I want you to know is that brightest light could be just around the corner, and here's how.
It's really something that everyone can identify with. Anyone who says that it's not for them, they're either not in tune with themselves or just lying, because I think it affects everyone. And to hear these stories and some of the guests that can relate things that you probably would never have thought about makes you thankful and gives you that kind of gratitude. Tell us.
It does.
Tell us about Jesse Israel, the founder of The Big Quiet, and how he fits into this formula.
I love Jesse. He's one of my favorite people. And I had been a fan of his, actually. I'd been a fan of what he was doing with Big Quiet, which is a large-scale experiential meditation experience. And he started it. So basically, he was a music executive. He started a record label out of his dorm room, college dorm room at NYU. And he started managing the band MGMT, that you've heard of, big yeah. rock band. And but he was super duper stressed and anxious and overwhelmed. Now, it probably had something to do with the fact that he started a record label and
was in college. were you at NYU at the same time?
Not at the same time, but we went to NYU. So
as did my wife, by the way. So
oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think you would, but she was there when you were there at the tail end, I think. Oh, but anyway, great. And Jesse was after you.
He was. He's a little younger than me.
I'm not. I didn't go there. I just said
we don't have to share that part, though.
No,
but he's so. Anyway, I really had looked up to him, and what I love about Jesse's story is that I only knew Jesse from his public persona, right? So he had become this record label guy, and then he had been at Coachella. But at Coachella, he had started leading these backstage meditation circles for people in the industry who just needed to help quell their anxiety, because so many people are anxious. And as more and more people started to join, he finally got this idea. What if the meditation was the festival? What if we were all here for the meditation? And he founded the Big Quiet, and he ended up going on tour with Oprah, and he spoke on stage with Deepak, and he's just a phenomenal human. But what I love about Jesse's story in the context of the Gratitudeology podcast is I said to him, so, hey, now you're this big meditation practitioner. So, like, are you living in the Zen? You're just, your anxiety's gone away? And he said, oh, hell no. I'm anxious all the time.
Wow.
And I said, thank you for sharing that.
That's
because
great.
The reality is, he's just on the path like we all are.
Yeah. You know, when you hear something like that, it just makes you realize how important it is for others to understand that you are human. Everyone's human. I remember when I was in high school and I was the president of my high school, and I was always with the teachers after school and at dances. I was in the staff room counting the money and doing the spreadsheets. And a kid came up to me afterwards and said, why don't you hang out with us? Why don't you come to McDonald's? And that's true. He did say McDonald's and hang out after the dances, because people can't identify with you when you're with the teachers. You're isolating yourself. We want to know that you have problems and that you're just like us. That way you will feel more human. And it hit me and it made me think, yeah, I've got to spend more time being just another kid, not trying to excel and not trying to prove that I'm any better than anyone else, just sharing what all kids of that age share. And that's kind of what Jesse's response was to you. And I think that's something that you focus on when you talk about gratitude in the Gratitudeology podcast. So talk a little bit about how you can identify, how you need to identify with other people in a positive way and not creating division, which unfortunately in our world today is running rampant.
Well, look, so I think, so this is one of the things that happened in addiction. So when I came into recovery circles, I had a sponsor early on and she said, welcome to the middle. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you've been living your life in like high highs or low lows, and you've been living your life. You either, she goes, tell me if you relate. She said, you either feel like you're better than everybody, because by the way, that's a defense mechanism that we do, like then we can feel superior, or you feel like you're the gum on people's shoe. And I said, how'd you know? She said, yeah, it's called humility. You're not familiar with it yet, but welcome to the middle. And like, this was all news to me. By the way, this is why I wouldn't change a thing. If I had the ability to go back and not be an addict, I wouldn't take it.
Interesting.
Because the life education that I got through getting sober and well and going through recovery, oh man, I wouldn't give it up for all the Tiana. So, you know, for me, this is where I learned to be a woman of integrity, a woman of humility, and where I learned to be like a cog in the wheel, a worker amongst workers. I learned, and maybe this is part of because I had a mom on TV or I grew up in New York, but I learned that I, you know, to have value, I had to be on the guest list. I had to know the DJ, right? I had to be the cool kid. Otherwise I was worthless. And so kind of what you're saying right now is like, we get all of our validation by identifying or excelling. And what I learned was right back to the beginning of how you opened the show today. What about just going outside, being in the sunshine and taking in the moment and being present and being a human on this planet? You know, usually when we're living in a stressful situation and we're totally disconnected from gratitude, we're usually focused on a host of self-centered fears. And it's usually because we feel the otherness, right? Like, oh, my boss thinks I suck. My coworkers hate me. The client thinks I'm stupid. You know, people on the other side of the political party are making me angry, or we disagree. And those thoughts only persist so simply because we continue to lean into them. I say this is where these exercises come in. A simple reframe is to make a short gratitude list that includes affirmations. Like, you know, I'm grateful to be employed and ready to take on the day. I'm grateful to have a chance to learn new skills today and competent to master them. I'm grateful to be an active member of my team and proud of the work I contribute. I'm grateful to be a parent, you know, and these days are going to go by so quickly. I'm going to enjoy them. It's all about bringing ourselves back to the present moment and the connectedness Because it literally is in the divisiveness that we find that misery.
That's true. Jamie, I only have a couple minutes, just a couple quick questions. First of all, I know how proud you are of your mother, Joan London, with her advocacy for survivors of breast cancer. How proud is she for you becoming who you are, being this gratitude advocate and coming back from addiction to everything that you've talked about today?
My mother is my best friend. We are so close, especially now. And I'm so grateful. We actually get to do a lot of work together. We do keynote speaking together and campaigns for brands. But one of the coolest things was the first episode of the Gratitudeology podcast is where I share my story and I share it with her. So this was a conversation 20 years in the making. Never had it. She did come and swoop in and essentially save me and brought me to treatment. But we had never really talked about it after that, to be perfectly honest. She just kind of said, like, all right, let's kind of keep it moving. And we had never had closure.
That's
and
so amazing.
The first episode,
and how we got to close out. Jamie, how can everyone hear Gratitudeology podcast and get to your website?
Yeah, they can head on over to gratitudeology.com. I'm also at meetjamiehess.com, and they can find me on Instagram at Jamie Hess.
Jamie, it's been such a pleasure hearing your story and having you on Gervie's Law. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.